Christ fulfills all the feasts, his first coming and his second coming, so you can get a good idea of how these things work. And I just want to say about the debate the last couple of weeks is, to me, it's time to move on past that. I just felt like nothing I said changed. You know, what we're talking about this event here, the second coming.
Right?
That's all we're talking. We're all in agreement. We're all going through the tribulation. Right? Well, and the only disagreement was the second coming.
Right.
That there are some of us that believe that the new heaven and the new earth are in the second coming and only resurrected people are in the kingdom. And like I said, I've actually come full circle, just to be honest with you guys, where I only not only believe resurrected people, but only us, the children of God, are going to be in the kingdom. And there's other people that believe that the new heaven and the new earth is after the 1,000 years and that mortals survive it. So nothing has been said that has changed my view on that. And I think things that I have said have not changed the other person's view on that. So you do your own diligence if you want to search it out and study it. But the truth is we're in agreement on the second coming.
Right.
Another thing, too, is these things are important. And I just feel all of a sudden I feel to do this about the times we're living in. Mm-hmm. Before we get into the study. And also we're doing this, we're studying the feasts and how Christ fulfills all the feasts. So I just want to talk about, for a minute here, things that, and I've shared these before, but I don't think it's bad to go back to these things. The times we're living in, turn to Mark 13. These times that we're living in, that, like Deb said, 1 minute, people love you, they're your friends, and the next minute, people are going to turn on us. This is what we're told is going to happen to us in the last days, even our own family members, and what's going to cause it? Well, you're seeing it. You're seeing what's causing it. We're the scum of the earth. We're the ones who are hanging our, hide behind their cross. We won't get the vaccines. We won't do these things, so people will turn on us, even our own family members. And I remember when I started understanding this, I just turned to the Lord and said, I'm not capable. Amen. I'll give in. I'm flesh, Lord. I'll take the mark. I'll go along with it. How do I get through this? And I think what Curtis is saying and Deb saying is, our battle's not in the flesh.
Amen.
It's in the spirit. And the only way we're going to win, even by losing in this world, is through the Spirit. So, Mark 13:11. But when they shall lead you, now Mark 13, Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, the solid discourse. He's talking about end times. He's not talking to just Jewish people. He's talking to his children, to the elect, us. So Mark 13:11 says, when they shall lead you and deliver you, take no thought beforehand where ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given to you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. So that's a promise. So that's when when I turned to God with a true heart, I said, I can't do it. These are the verses he started showing me that, you know what, Tom? You're not going to do it. Don't you dare think you can trust in your own flesh, Tom. You have no strength in your flesh. You trust in me.
In that hour.
That's right. That's right. So if you turn to, Matthew, same thing, Matthew 24. Three through nine, they ask Jesus what is the sign of coming and the end of the world. And he says, verse 7, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. So just think of that alone. I mean, but that's traumatizing that these things are going to take place, that we're going to be on the earth during this time. But then he says, these are the beginnings of sorrows. Then they shall deliver you up, and they shall be afflicted, and they shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. And then many shall be offended, and shall betray one another, shall hate one another. So then he goes on to say about what's going to happen to us. But look at verse 6. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, but be ye not troubled.
Right. Amen.
Be ye not troubled. Don't let these things bother you. Don't let these things trouble you. You're seeing reactions from Christians like Dad, Wendy, other people that are saying, these decisions aren't being made by Dad.
No.
It's God said, you're not going along with this, Dad, and I'm going to stop it. I'm going to make the decision for you. Right? This is what you're starting to see manifest as the Holy Spirit work through our life. Luke 21.
Luke 21, 12 to 19.
And just hang your faith on these verses. 21, 12. Before all these things, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up into synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And then shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it, therefore, in your hearts not to meditate what you shall answer. For I, Mark said the Holy Ghost, here Jesus is saying, I will give you a mouth and wisdom, and all your adversaries will not be able to gainsay nor resist. And you shall be betrayed, both of parents and brethren and kinsfolk, and friends, and some of you they shall cause to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not be a hair of your head perished, for in your patience you possess your soul. We're just told that they're going to persecute us and kill us, and he's saying not a hair of your head is going to perish.
Right. Amen.
We're not talking about this world.
Yes.
Yeah. Revelation 2:8. Just hang your head on these verses. Trust. This is what God is doing right now. He's drawing out a true remnant of believers that have no trust in themselves, but only in God. Revelation 2:8, the church of Smyrna. Look at 9. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And we did this when we studied the churches. How could you be poor but rich? Poor in the spirit, rich in faith.
Amen.
I know the blasphemy of them that say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. There's a promise. He doesn't guarantee you you're going to get through this. He doesn't guarantee you that he's going to remove you. What he guarantees you is eternal life. You hang on to him. We're going to hang our faith on Jesus Christ, that no matter what happens in that hour, he's there. He's going to be there with us. And this is all going to play a role in studying these feasts, the Lamb of Rain. You know, we could go on and on about this, but you know, I kind of want to move on about the feast of the Lord. Because the early rain and the latter rain, is the Holy Spirit's going to be poured out again in the last days. And you are going to see things. He's going to manifest himself, and I think he's already doing it in some of us. And when I say that, I mean little things like Deb saying, either I retire December 8th or I retire a year from now.
Yeah.
That's the Holy Spirit manifesting that he is taking over her life. Same thing with Wendy, you know, and the rest of the people that have said, we're not going along with this. The Holy Spirit is going to take over your life. So, the Feast of the Lord. And this is a great study. This is me. This is really me. I mean, there's some deep things. It's going to probably take us a couple weeks to go through this. But there are some good things to learn here, how you learn how the Bible works, how typology works, how Christ... These things were given, and he calls these feasts an everlasting covenant. That they don't stop. Mm-hmm. They continue right through eternity.
Yeah.
So, and then you can see, you know, how he fulfills, Jesus Christ fulfills all the feasts just very quickly. He was crucified on Passover.
Right.
He was in the grave on unleavened bread. He honored the Sabbath, by doing no servile work. He rose on first fruits of the spring harvest on the morrow after the Sabbath. He sent the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. And to me, this is a partial fulfillment. I think this is the connection between his first coming and his second coming, because the Pentecost is going to be rolled out again in the latter rain,
right,
and with it is going to come a resurrection. The Feast of Trumpets is going to be fulfilled, the Feast of Atonement and the Feast of Tabernacles. So if you turn to, I think, Exodus 23, we'll start there. And, you know, this is open if there's comments or questions. You know, it's just an open study. Look at Exodus 23.
14?
Yeah, we'll pick it up at 14. 23, so he's going to tell us, three times thou shalt keep the feast unto me in a year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread.
So there's one.
Feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days. And as I have commanded thee and appointed of the month Abib, for in it thou camest out of Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. The feast and the feast of harvest of the first fruits of thy labor, which thou sowest in the field, right?
So that's the feast of harvest, that's the feast of weeks, Pentecost.
And then he says, and the feast of ingathering, which is when? At the end. So ingathering is at the end.
These are not the same feast. This is Pentecost, this is ingathering, this is at the end. And a lot of people don't understand that. They think that this is the same feast. It's not.
So he says, this feast of and the feast of ingathering, which is at the end of the year, when thou gatherest in thy labor out of thy field. So just think of that right there. When he gathers everything together, the picture here is God is going to reap the harvest. He's going to gather, and he's fulfilling these feasts. So if you look to Exodus 34, he's going to say the same thing. So think, big picture, not only just Israel at that time, but think big picture, the world, the system, the coming kingdom of Jesus Christ and God the Father. Verse 21, 34, 21, 6 days thou shalt work, right? 6,000 years shall we work, but the seventh day thou shalt rest. In earing time and in harvest thou shalt rest. So there's the harvest coming. And the seventh day, or the 7,000th year, where there's going to be a harvest, and we are going to rest in that harvest. Verse 22, and thou shalt observe the feast of weeks, the weeks of the first fruits of the wheat harvest.
So that would be Pentecost,
right? And the feast of ingathering.
Ingathering and Pentecost are not the same. So if this is the wheat harvest, this is the gleaning, gathering at the end of the world.
The same thing in verse 21, because there's the time that the corn stalk makes the ear.
Yes, yes.
Right? That's the beginning.
Yeah.
So the ear really hasn't developed.
That's
it's
right.
It's now just poking out.
Yeah, exactly.
And over a time period, that ear grows into a full corner, and then it's harvested.
And what is that a picture of? Three things, body,
yes,
soul, and spirit. There's a resurrection coming when it's the full corn.
Right.
It's the resurrected body, and he reaps that.
Mm-hmm. How many times did Jesus say, it was not my time yet?
That's right.
They didn't lay their hands on me because
it
was not his time. Mm-hmm. Mother, it's not my time yet.
Absolutely. See, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to develop, and he's doing a better job than I am, of developing the picture between the original feast and how they play out in the last days, how they're fulfilled in the last days. So, but look at verse 23, and then look at 24.
Yeah.
Thrice in the year thou shalt all your children appear before the Lord, the God of Israel. For I will cast out all nations before thee. You think it's a coincidence that he throws that in with the feast? When he gathers us, they're gone. This is one of those reasons why I believe it's just going to be us. I could be wrong, but this is one of those reasons. Right there in 24, as he's talking about these feasts, and said, I will cast out the nations before thee and enlarge thy borders. Mm-hmm. Neither shall any man desire
when thou go up to appear before the Lord thrice in the year. So to me, too, these are continual. These go on to eternity where we, you know, and I had somebody say, well, you're going to be in his presence. Yeah, well, I'm in my parents' presence my whole life, right? Mm-hmm. But yet, I didn't practice Thanksgiving every day,
right,
even though I was in their presence. So these are feasts that we are going to appear before the Lord during a feast time, even though we're in his presence daily. Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So,
it's interesting when you go to Bible college, they take this 24 right here, verse 24, and I will cast out nations before thee, and enlarge thy borders, and neither shall any man desire thy land. They put the church in that. That's
right.
A promise for the church. Well, no, that's a promise for Israel. And it they tie it in, if you don't go to these three feasts every year, then that promise doesn't apply to you.
Right.
As we just read that, I don't
yeah.
see that in Scripture.
Absolutely.
You know, God's word stands. Now, he does desire that we go three times a year in this particular place.
Right.
To worship him in the fullness. But it doesn't say that if you don't do it, he won't increase. Because this is a latter time prophecy that he's going to do during the end time, the things that are going to happen. Israel is going to be blessed. They are going to be blessed. Their borders are
going to
be
gathered with the true
yes.
Israel of God is Jew and Gentile together in his commonwealth.
Well, what does Israel mean? The name Israel. Anyone? What? I mean,
striving with God?
That was Jacob, striving with God. Israel is blessed of the Lord.
Really?
I think so. Correct me if I'm wrong. Israel blessed of the Lord?
That makes sense.
It's been a long time since I've heard somebody define that, so
yeah.
My memory's not as good as it used to be. So.
But
blessed of the Lord sort of brings up.
Yeah. Because he wrestled with
but I can't attest to it fully, I should just say
the Lord.
Can he
strive with God?
Israel is the
what we're doing here. We're understanding the fulfillment.
If you look at 5, on the 14th day of the first month at even, this is what people don't understand. They don't understand when Jesus Christ was crucified. He was crucified Thursday,
right.
Dirt day, because Wednesday even started the 14th. And what it, according to Israel, according to the Jewish law, when is day, the first night and day? The day starts at night, 6 p.m. at night. So the Wednesday was the 14th, and Thursday, Earth Day, was the 14th.
Yeah.
So that's when he was crucified, Thursday day, and then Thursday night is the 15th of unleavened bread. So you have the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. So Jesus Christ was crucified on the 14th, on Passover. And the 15th is the same day of the feast is unleavened bread. Unto the Lord, 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. And so just think of that. What, this is the whole idea. He pays the price on the 14th. In 7 days, you are to remove leaven from your house. So he pays the price for your leaven. So, and leaven is completeness, right?
Well,
so that's the 50%,
isn't it?
Right.
And so,
yeah.
Even in the Passover feast, there's a thing where the grandfathers tell the children to seek out any leaven that
yeah.
would be in the house. The kids would go around.
Right.
Or grandpa would have something stuck behind the stove
yeah.
or wherever they could find it. You know, and so it was a game to teach the children that you got to get this sin out of the house, no matter how small it is. Find it and get it out.
That's right. And that was, and actually, that's an Exodus that you are to
yes.
remove leaven from your house. So the picture is that he's crucified, he pays them, he shed the blood, he put on the lintels, and 7 days he removes leaven by him through which is completeness, which is eternity. That's what that's about. But unleavened bread included Passover.
Right.
It included Passover. So this is this first feast, which is fulfilled by Jesus Christ at his first coming and unleavened bread. So these two feasts are fulfilled at his first coming. Okay, I just want to go through some of these other ones. So you still have Pentecost. So if you look at 15, and you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath. So the morrow after the Sabbath, well, like you said, Jesus Christ crucified Thursday, Friday, unleavened bread. Saturday is the Sabbath. He honored the Sabbath by doing no servile work. He rose on the spring harvest, the first fruits of the spring harvest, and he sent the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. So you're going to count 50 days, right? On the morning after the Sabbath, you shall a sheaf of the wave offering. 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall be 50 days. And ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. So here you go. 50 days, we got to remember that number. The number 50. Just remember that. Okay. I don't know if we'll get to it today. So look at 17. And ye shall bring out of your habitation 2 wave loaves, 2 tenths deal of the same fine flour shall be baken with leaven. Okay? They are the first fruits.
Yes.
They are the first fruits of the Lord. So you have 2 pieces of bread
right.
with leaven. Those are Jews, a Jew and a Gentile, now being offered as first fruits to the Lord. So there's your first fruits, there's your harvest. And what happened at Pentecost in the book of Acts? First fruits. The Holy Spirit was sent out on a multitude of people at one time, and they did things that were unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen again to a multitude of people in the latter days. Okay? So there's Pentecost, there's first fruits. Next. Okay, 23. So now these have been, these 2, Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits, these have been fulfilled. This is a partial fulfillment that is going to connect these next ones here. Trumpets, atonement.
convocation, it's a holy gathering, a blowing of trumpets. So there you go. Does it say how many trumpets?
No.
It just says a blowing of trumpets. So you have the first month. What day?
The
You're talking about 24, verse 24?
Yeah.
Seventh month, first day.
Yeah, seventh month. Seventh month, first day. Okay. So then you go down to atonement here, 26. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, in the tenth day of the seventh month. But here's atonement, right? Here's the seventh month, tenth day. You have atonement, and it shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And you shall do no work there in the same day, for it is the day of atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord. Okay, we got one more here, 33. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day, so you have a seventh month, 15th day. So these are all the same month, but you can see there's 15 days difference between them. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the seventh month shall be a feast of tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord, and the first day shall be a holy convocation, you shall do no servile work. So you can see tabernacles. But what is tabernacles? Tabernacles is when God dwells with man. And then you see that in Revelation 21, where he even says it. I'll just read it. Revelation 21, 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be their God. So I'm just laying this out. We're going to get more into detail in this, because this all has to appear in one day, right? When there's a year of Jubilee, when it all comes together. That puts all these events together in one day. You will see it as we move forward. It is a blessing. So, I want to go back here. So, that's all I wanted to do, just give you an overview of the feast, the dates of the feast. So, Christ fulfills this, right? We know he was crucified on Passover. But what's interesting here is, when you look at Exodus 12, and he shall keep it unto the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation shall kill it and eat it at evening. So that he's talking about the lamb and the Passover. Look at 12. This to me is what's fascinating about this. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, against all the gods of Egypt, and I will execute judgment. I am the Lord thy God. So when does he do this? On the 14th. And what does he do? He kills his enemies, right? So what did Christ do the first time he came? He destroyed his enemies. But his enemies were not Mr. Gavron. The enemies were spiritual, right?
Yeah.
So this is the picture. And I've heard a lot of people say, well, no, people did make it through Israel. No, they didn't. This is a picture of Christ destroying his enemies the first time, which is the spiritual realm, and then he's going to destroy the next time everybody and cast them into hell. So I'll show you that. He destroys his enemies here. And look what he says in 12. Look there again. For I will pass through the land of Egypt, right? This is the night, Exodus 12:12. And I will smite the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all gods.
Right.
All gods. So that's the spiritual realm. Okay? So now, if you look at Luke 22:53. brought death into the world. He seduced Eve into tricking her, fooled her, and went along with it, and the devil introduced death into the world.
The payment of sin is
death.
Right.
That's right. Exactly. And what did Jesus call him? A liar and a murderer from the beginning. So you see this, right? Everybody sees this? First coming at the crucifixion.
Yep.
He defeated it. And even I can't remember where it is, it might be in John where it talks about that the princes of this world would have never crucified him if they knew what they were doing. Well, those princes of this world were being led by
right.
the princes of that world.
Amen. And again, we talk about the rulers of this world. They're not really to blame. They're puppets on a string. It's
right.
not Stalin or Hitler
right.
or Mussolini or Biden or Obama or Trump.
Right.
The ones who really rule them are the princes of the power. That's why we're not supposed to war against flesh and blood.
That's right.
We war against the powers of principalities.
So why should we fear them?
We shouldn't.
Go ahead, Wendy.
So,
before we even stop. So glad you did that this
right.
morning. About they're gonna get you.
Yeah.
something speaking into your head and
Amen.
It doesn't come out of here, you don't have God.
Amen.
Somebody else is talking to you.
Yeah.
We should pray for those people because they're deceived.
Well, as you were reading in Psalm 25, 1 and 2, 3 is great. All right? Because
I
3 is.
That
amen.
I just looked at the first two.
You looked at the first two.
I want to say those.
But yeah, amen. Well, hit number 3 real quick.
Okay, yay. Let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause.
All right. So we will not be ashamed if we wait on the Lord. Where is it? Isaiah 40 something. Those who wait on the Lord shall mount up.
Time we
Lord, loving him. This is about, because this isn't just, oh, we want to understand all these things. This is about our relationship.
Right.
This has drawn my relationship with him closer than I've ever been before. And this is end time stuff.
Right.
You know, I remember asking the Lord to show me end time stuff. I wanted to understand eschatology.
Yeah.
You know what he did? He blessed me.
Yeah.
That's what he says in Revelation 22, blessed is he who hears. He blessed me by just drawing me closer into him. And like Wendy said, that he's just confirming his word to me, and I'm going, who am I?
Yeah.
Who am I? I'm just so dope living in Bristol, New York, this little speck of dust in Bristol, New York. And he goes, I'm going to bless that guy. He believes
in mine. That guy was seeking for the Lord.
Yeah.
Getting past the theological understanding that has been pushed in our minds, when we get back to the Word of God and studying it as a whole, and yeah, there's a New Testament and Old Testament, but all these feasts, all these things that he tells us to do in the feast, how we're supposed to stay clean for the 7 days, and then after the 7 days for the next day, there's a pattern that God uses throughout his Word of God.
And all of it confirms
yes.
The function of God. The
yes.
perfectness,
yes.
the
yes.
beauty,
yep.
the, I think about music. I was thinking about music lately and looking up some pieces that I really love, right? And we think of music over here and science over here or creation over here.
Right.
No, no, no. It's all a part of who he is.
Right.
This Word reveals who he is, the fullness of God. And so it points to
that's right.
I think it's the difference between the oboe and the violin.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Each of those have a place in the orchestra of God.
Yeah.
And the Word of God, the Spirit of God, is the one who keeps us in perfect time.
It is a beautiful thing.
I think I
just shut them down and then push them over.
No.
commandments that he morally put into your soul, you're not going to do them.
Right.
I'm not going to covet. I'm not going to lust. I'm not going to murder, as Jesus said, by hating somebody.
Right.
They're going to be fulfilled here. 21, and he shall proclaim on that selfsame day that he may be, it may be a holy congregation unto you, and you shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever, forever, in all your dwellings, throughout all your generations. And there it is. Look at verse 22. And you shall reap the harvest of your land, and you shall not make a clean riddance. That's in gathering. 22 is in gathering. 21 is Pentecost. Okay, so. Romans 8.
Corinthians 5 and which verses?
1 through 5.
Okay.
This is the tabernacle where God dwells with man. Okay, so you can, to me, you can see it. You can see that we have received the Spirit. You know, I think we brought this up before. Even in the Old Testament, when you would see the Spirit come on people and off people, but not in people, Christ wasn't crucified. He needed to be crucified because Jesus said until he was crucified, he wouldn't be able to send a comforter into you. But I'll say this, there's a lot of people that hang on, well, you know, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The law has not changed. God's laws have not changed. Even David said, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. He can remove a Holy Spirit from somebody who's sealed. He unseals things and he seals things. So it is, we've said it all along, it's our point to keep abiding in him. Once you start abiding in him, he owes you nothing.
Well, even in that scripture that you quoted from the Ephesians that we're sealed, the next word is until.
Until. That's right.
That means that there's a time of not being sealed.
That's right. And he can. He can. He unseals the seven seals. He unsealed the tomb. He unsealed Lazarus' tomb. He can unseal things. So that, to me, when people try to use that as, you know, well, you know, I'm sealed. Well, he can unseal you if you don't abide.
Right.
And I think we're all on board there. Okay, so that's the early rain, right? We received the Holy Spirit in the early rain, and we're waiting for the latter rain. Joel?
How are we doing?
Joel chapter 2.
I was looking in there where you were reading in 2 Corinthians, and the word tabernacle is a tent. It's a temporary dwelling.
That's right.
So we that are in this temporary dwelling do wrong.
That's right.
All right. Again, this, what we're seeing, all of creation, everything
right.
We see, this is all temporary.
That's right.
There's coming a day it'll become solid.
Exactly. We have a greater tabernacle
yes.
waiting for us.
Amen.
And that tabernacle
Amen.
Is, he's the head tabernacle, and we're the body.
Right.
His tabernacle is not going to be different from our tabernacle.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what I'll be like, but when I see
that's
him,
right.
I will be like him.
That's right.
So, paraphrase.
He's talking about the resurrection. 1 John 3, 2.
Yeah.
It does not yet appear what we shall be,
yeah.
but when he shall appear,
yes.
we shall see him as he is, or we shall be like him.
Right.
That's a resurrection.
So what
do you believe
days?
It?
There you go. There's
you
the thing.
Believe it.
Do, you,
yes.
do we really
yes.
believe
yes.
that those scriptures are absolutely real? Because we cannot see them.
And
yeah.
we will not be able to abide if we don't truly believe
yes.
in our soul.
We
will not abide.
Yeah, we
will
be
looking out at the trees, right?
Yeah.
I'm standing out there praying, and I just felt the image of this. The wind is blowing, and some
yeah.
of the leaves hang on, and others just fall away when the wind blows. And
mm-hmm.
we have to abide in him. We
chamber and a bride out of her closet. He is coming for us.
Mm-hmm.
19.
So it's time for the church to come out of the closet.
That's right. This would be a good time for it. This would be a good time to stop teaching the same old messages that you've been doing the last 100 years.
Right.
And start to get into some real stuff.
Right. Amen.
19, yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn, wine, and oil, and you shall be satisfied therein, and I will no more make you a reproach among the people. So look what he's going to do. But I will remove from you the northern army, and I will drive them into a barren land, that's hell, desolate, with his face toward the east, and his hinder part toward the uttermost sea. And his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things. Look at verse 22. Be not afraid of the beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree bringeth her fruit, and the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion. Where's Zion? And rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors of shall be full with wheat, there's your harvest, and the fats shall overflow, and wine with oil. And I will restore unto you the year that the locusts have eaten, that's Revelation 9. And the cankerworm and the caterpillar. See, he's going to regenerate.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to bring everything back to Eden again. And he shall, verse 26, and he shall eat plenty and be satisfied. Praise the name of the Lord your God. He hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be.
Come on. Amen.
My people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. There's tabernacles.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Feast of Tabernacles. And I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your old men shall dream dreams. And your young men shall dream visions. Shall see visions. And upon those servants and upon those handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood, fire, and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom he had called. So earlier, so we know this is a fulfillment in Acts chapter 2, but did that happen? Did the earth become
the skies didn't roll up, the sun didn't turn into darkness, and none of those things happened.
So this is a future promise.
It is. Well, it's there's so many prophecies in the Word of God that have a early showing and then later on is the fulfillment.
Absolutely. And that's what this is. This is what this study is. It's yes, did he lay these feasts down? Yes, but they are a fulfillment of what's coming.
Right.
And the ultimate fulfillment, if you ever question it, just keep reading Romans 8.
Right.
That's what we're looking for. We're looking for the finality of all things when the creature itself is subject and when the manifestation of the sons of God become like Christ. This is what everybody's waiting for. So, Acts chapter 2, this is a fulfillment of Joel chapter 2.
It seems like that scripture of Joel where it says provide the wheat, the grain, and the fat.
Yeah.
It's like one is the provision, the other is the blessing, right? Because doesn't he talk about the fat, the milk, and the oil, and that always seems to be like
The blessing. The corn, wine, and the oil is the blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the healing. Wine and oil is healing.
That's
but who knows what fat does to dry meat?
Makes it tasty.
It makes it tasty, right? It makes it good. If you've never had a piece of deer meat that's been cooked,
that's the way you're supposed to eat it, too.
Yeah.
With fat.
With the fat.
That's right.
Right.
That's
with
right.
The fat.
All
right,
buddy.
That's right.
That's right.
If you like
that's
bacon, you don't drain the fat.
Here you go. Yep. I like fat, biscuit, and fat.
That's right.
Man.
Fat, good.
verse, chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, see, before it fully came here, people weren't speaking in tongues. There weren't cloven tongues of fire over them, right? These things weren't happening. They weren't raising the dead. Although they would write scripture and they would prophesy, when it fully came, something different happened, right? And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there were all with one accord, so they drove a car there. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house, and they were all sitting. This happened. Mm-hmm. It wasn't imaginary. It wasn't Casper. This happened. Right? And there appeared unto them, appeared. This happened. Cloven tongues as of fire. And it's happened on each one of them. So once again, the key word here is fire. In these last days, is fire. It's for us, it's cleansing, purifying, refiner's fire. God said, I am a consuming fire. For us, good. For them, bad. Okay. And
hearing there, comes first and then seeing.
Yeah.
That's right.
Faith comes by hearing.
Yeah.
And then we see.
That's
yes.
Right. That's good.
Amen.
Did you guys hear that? They were all.
Yes.
If you're a child of God in these days, we're all going to be filled.
Right.
We're all going to be God. That's why you're not going to be afraid to die. That's why you're not going to be afraid to give a testimony. You are going to be filled. Right now, we just have glimpses of pieces of it. And I want to keep living more and more for Him. He's going to honor you. He's going to pour it on you, and you're going to stand like all these saints that you've read in the Old Testament, the New Testament.
And again, we need to be prepared for
that's
that
right.
Because it can come and you think you're right and you're really not, and you miss it.
That's right.
You can miss the latter rain of God. Like, how many Jews that walked with Christ missed this event? How many people that walked with Christ and
that's right.
ate with Him, dined with Him,
exactly.
and they missed this because they didn't obey Christ until the fulfillment happened?
One of them was in his inner circle.
Yeah.
He's a devil.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. So, yeah, you can count on this happening again. So, 16 to 21. So, they're asking Peter, what they're asking, he said, drunk. So, there's two kinds of wine.
Yeah.
There's the Holy Spirit wine, right? And then there's the world wine, the drunk
mm-hmm.
and the Spirit. There's two spirits. One is the Holy Spirit, the wine of God, and the other is the wine of the world, the spirit of disobedience that makes people drunk with sin. So, 16, so Peter goes on to say, that was spoken by Joel the prophet. And it shall come in the last days, saith God, that I will pour my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. That's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And my servants and my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Did that happen at Pentecost?
No.
So this is a promise of the latter rain. Of course, it goes on to say, and it shall the sun be turned into dark. But look again at verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So what did Jesus say? The gospel must be preached unto the end of the world, then the end shall come. And yet in Revelation 14, you have an angel flying in the midst of heaven proclaiming the gospel. And you keep reading Revelation 14, there's a harvest. There's a harvest, the wheat and the tares. The wheat are gathered into the barn and the tares are gathered to be burned. The harvest is what? The end of the world. I'm just putting two and two together. Okay, so that's Acts. James, look at James 5. Who's not having fun? James 5. James 5, 7.
Yeah.
patience for it until you receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. We have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy.
Tender mercy. Gospel is going to be preached before he comes, and people are going to receive it. It's a promise. That's why, like we were saying, Wendy, yes, that people that are left, a remnant of Jews, but there are also stragglers of
right.
Gentiles that you have witnessed to that when he appears, they will the switch will flip on.
Right.
There is going to be a remnant of people that are saved, or else he wouldn't be preaching the gospel when he, right before he called people up.
Yeah.
And everything that I have felt this morning that the Lord has laid on my heart is right there. Establish your heart.
Establish your heart.
Be also patient. Establish your hearts. It's amazing, you know, just a few words. And it's like, yes.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Look at that. Verse 7, be patient. Verse 8, be also patient.
Yes.
Verse 10, affliction and patience. Verse 11, you heard of the patience of Job. Job, 42 chapters, there's a 42-month period coming, and Job endured till the end. And Job was double blessed at the end than he was at the beginning.
Yeah.
He endured, he finished his race.
What does tribulation work?
Tribulation work is
patience.
Hope.
It's only
when
you've been really poor.
But here's the point. Job was a Gentile. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
We're going through it. You know, I know since the first day I showed up here, we've been saying, you do not honor God by being removed before the crap hits the fan.
Right.
You honor him through the tribulation.
You have to die some.
That's right. Consider it already done. Just you hang on. He's going to hang on to you. You just believe that. You believe this book. Believe everything in this book. I've given you enough evidence just right here today that this book is perfect.
Yep.
You believe him. Believe the book. He's going to take care of everything else.
Service on the
Lord. That's right. And what did they do to him? That's right.
Did you want that passage?
Yeah. That's it.
Okay. I'll start with verse 1, I guess. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us.
Let's wrap. How dare him allow patience? Why does he allow tribulation in your life? To draw you into his bosom. He allows these things to separate sheep from goat.
And to show you that truly when you are comforted, when you are dealing with something where the circumstance cannot be changed, and you are seeking comfort, it only comes from his word.
That's
it
right.
Only comforts him. Nobody
That's
can
right.
say anything
That's
to you.
Right.
No, it can't be someone else's experience. It has to be ours.
That's right.
This word is more precious every time it ministers to my soul.
That's right.
Now it's my word. Now this is the Lord.
Exactly.
God.
He is alive and well. He is alive and well. And he told Thomas, blessed are your eyes because you have seen. Blessed are those who have not seen. I believe. He is alive and well. And he is more real to me than Doug stands sitting over there. Because he has changed my life. He did this. I know what I was before him. And I'm different afterwards. And I owe none of it to myself.
In this whole same process of sanctification.
Yes.
If that is making the word ours. I mean, in the
That's
sense
right.
of applying to our soul.
Yeah.
It's
okay. Romans 8, so Romans 8 and 1 Corinthians 15.
spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. So here you go. He's the first fruits of the resurrection. We are sent the Holy Spirit in the early rain until we receive the latter rain. And that spirit that raised him up is Christ raised.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You can fly over to Tel Aviv, get off the airplane, go into Jerusalem, stick your head in the stew. He's not there.
Right.
He's risen. Right? If that spirit raised him, the promise is it's going to raise me. Okay.
Here's the promise. I mean, along with that, these are the rules. Because after a promise comes a rule, right? God gave us a promise about the resurrection, about being made quick. Verse 12 says, "Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors. We are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But through the Spirit, being mortified the deeds of the flesh, ye shall live."
See, that's
right. So there's a lifestyle that comes along with the belief system.
And we can have victory over sin.
Amen.
We can
yes.
have victory over
Amen.
Them by the Spirit.
We don't have to live after
that's right.
the flesh.
That's
we
right.
don't have to. God set you free from that. And our freedom is found in the hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Exactly. And yeah, that's just the point. Is there are people that say, well, they sin because of God's grace. No. Through God's grace, I am allowed not to sin.
Yes.
I'm free from sin. When you sin, you're in bondage.
Yes.
I'm allowed to be removed from that bondage and live for Christ.
Again, should I sin all the more?
God forbid. That's right. You know, I only said this a couple weeks ago. These people that want to get in by the skin of their teeth, they don't get in.
No.
Because if that's how you want to get in, by having one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom, you're not getting in. You need both feet in the kingdom, and when you fall towards the kingdom.
Amen.
You fall towards the kingdom.
Yeah, we're supposed to brush our teeth every day, at least once, so there shouldn't be any skin on it.
That's right.
It is clean enough.
So it's such a beautiful verse. I just want to read it again. So go to 1 Corinthians 15. But the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the, who's the spirit of him? God the Father.
God the Father, yeah.
That raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwells within you. 1 Corinthians 15. Look at 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Is Christ risen, Kevin? If he wasn't risen, you wouldn't be who you are. You would still be old Kevin.
Yeah.
But he's risen. Okay?
Kevin full of lemon.
Kevin full of lemon. Look at verse 20.
What chapter? I'm sorry.
1 Corinthians 15 to 19. That was 13. Look at 19. But in this life, only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. So there is something to gleaning a resurrected body.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to that. Looking forward to his kingdom and treasures there for us.
It's kind of interesting. My son and I were talking about this some years ago, where people will say, even if Christ didn't exist, I wouldn't change my life. And Mike has said, then you're not walking.
That's right.
Because we are of
right.
all men most miserable.
That's right.
If Christ did not, because it should be costing us something.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes. Amen.
And so I just thought that was really interesting, because I always believed that.
That's humanism. I'm a good person. I don't need Christ.
Right.
I'm a good person.
And they're saying, even if he did, I believe he exists, but even if he didn't,
yeah.
I would choose this
yeah.
this life. It's like, then you have sacrificed.
That's
nothing.
Right.
You have not died.
Right.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I want to live for him because who he is.
Yeah.
Because I want to honor him. I don't want to be a reprobate. I don't want to dishonor him with my life. I want to honor him with my life.
Well, again, I see a Christian not living world, then you are blaspheming the name of God.
That's right.
You, you're either in or you're out.
See, that's the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
He said, all sin will be forgiven, the sin against the Son of Man and the sin against God. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall never be forgiven. And this is this people that say they're saved and they have no fruit.
Right.
That's the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost.
They have no fruit and they're comfortable being fruitless.
Yep. You're saying you're saved and you don't have the Holy Spirit.
Right.
That's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Okay, so 19. Now we read 20. For now is Christ risen. Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept, of the resurrected. For since by death, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection. Singular.
Mm-hmm.
Singular. I've studied this word resurrection 41 times it's mentioned. It's always singular. I don't see any verse that say there's many resurrections. There's one now, 1,000 years later. He puts it singular. The resurrection of the dead. For in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ and his coming. Then cometh the end, when he had delivered up the kingdom, of God, even the Father, when he shall put down all rule and all authority and power. And he must reign and put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy shall be destroyed, his death. So, I don't mean to be doing this, but if he's going to resurrect us, if he's coming here and he's going to put all rule and authority under him, and death is defeated here, it seems to me that everything takes place here at his second coming. I mean, who's there to rule over if he just put death under his feet? Okay. So, but the point I was trying to make there was the key word is first fruits.
Yeah.
He's the first fruits of the resurrection. We receive the first fruits. It wasn't just Pentecost. Pentecost is when it was rolled out on a multitude of people in one town.
Pentecost, if you want to think of it in a time-space continuum type thing, you got a race. It's 100 miles long. Well, there's a start. Bang. And that's when the Holy Spirit, that was that first fulfillment of Joel chapter 2.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit came, changed his position from on men to in men, where God made his dwelling in men. Right? And then from that time up until the resurrection, those who have the Spirit dwelling in them will be called to be with him.
That's right. So then that's what I said, this latter rain, this is the, that's the final harvest. That's the end gathering. When he reaps all the harvest, and from what I can see, this is actually perfect.
Yeah.
We got through the first half of this. Next week we're going to look at the second coming. Gathering, trumpets, tones, and so we actually worked our way through this, but this actually worked out perfect. But the latter rain is this event, and that's trumpets. And we're gonna see if you want to go ahead and study it, you're like, well, wait a minute, if the day of the Lord is here, how do you have a first, a tenth, and a 15th? Go read Leviticus 25, Jubilee, the year of Jubilee, and so you'll be blessed. Because think of this. Pentecost is the 50th day.
Yeah.
Right? Jubilee is the 50th year.
Right.
Right? So this is what he's doing. He's bringing everything to a jubilee. And what did Jesus say? Seven sevens are determined. So the 50th one is the one that's the jubilee. And that's when he does all of these things at once. Okay?
I just want to get a picture before you end it. Thank you very much.
That I think we lost then.
Oh, we did?
Yeah, it says low battery.
Yeah. We can hear, but not see.
Okay, we're just gonna wrap it up, but
yeah.
How'd that work for you?
Oh, perfect.
Asha, don't say anything, you'll make me cry. She makes me cry.
I know.
All right, we'll pray. Father God,
you reveal these things to babes and to the fools of this world. Lord, who are we? I just thank you for your perfect word. Thank you that your son had compassion on people like us, that he saw us, you saw us, and you saw our hopelessness, broken people, but you're the healer, you're the fixer, you're the one who looked down upon man and has mercy on him. Lord, I just thank you for this perfect word. I thank you for these feasts in teaching us that it is you that teach us. It is your spirit that teaches us. And Lord, if I've said anything in error, please have mercy on me. Remember that I'm made of dust and that I just want to honor you and your word and teach these things that I believe that you have taught us and brought forth. Lord, these are for us to glean and to draw near to you, to enlarge our heart, to realize that the end is coming, and the end of all things is coming, and the only hope that we have is in your Son, and that our focus would be on him, and our relationship would be on him, and that you would open up a door of hope to reach into a lost people in this world, even brothers and sisters in our own family, to warn them of the eternal judgment that is coming when Christ comes. Lord, that they would step into glory and not into damnation. Lord, I pray that you would just have mercy upon us and put a hedge of protection around our little group here, our building, our church, and keep drawing us nearer and nearer to you. And I ask you to just intervene again with Curtis as he brings forth more of your word, that you would fill his mouth with your words, and by the Holy Spirit, that you would feed your flock by him, and that would draw nearer and nearer to you today than when we first came in here, that we would leave even more closer to you. I just, I'm in awe of you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.